Hello and welcome to Select Match Type. My name's Simon Cowgill and I'm joined as always by Christopher Ellis. Hi Chris, how are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, Si. How's yourself?
Yeah, good, thank you. Obviously, we've done our very ambitious crossover episode. I would say the first time, but we did it previously. I'm not sure if you can remember the first time we tried it with I Spit On Your Grades.
Yeah, we tried recording the Edge Undertaker.
That's right.
Ladder match, was it? Or Hell in a Cell?
Hell in a Cell, yeah.
I vaguely remember because I know we had Faith and I Spit On Your Grades join us as we recorded in my back garden afterwards. And the final version we got was absolutely unintelligible, as you would be after you spend the entire night drinking.
Yeah, we thought it'd be a great idea at about 11 o'clock, having gone out at, 2 o'clock in the afternoon to... Now's probably a good time to record an episode of the podcast. Fade, you want to be on it? So the first official crossover between the two is out now. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thanks again for having me. But it's back to wrestling business today.
We mean business. Wrestling business.
This business, to quote Triple H. So we are rounding up our tables, ladders and chairs coverage. Obviously, we've covered 8 matches. So we'll just do our usual roundup of some highlights, our least favorite matches. We did pick a couple of stinkers in this one, I think.
I've been looking through the list before we recorded just to refamiliarize myself, because it's amazing how much wrestling you watch and how you completely forget what you actually recorded.
Absolutely. So I've definitely slept since like 10 weeks ago, since we started our journey through tables, ladders and chairs. So just to recap, our first episode was TLC 1 from SummerSlam 2000, the classic TLC match with Edge and Christie and the Dudleys and the Hardys. We then had ECW Guilty as Charged, the triple threat, where the Sandman won the ECW title, only for Rhino to come out and batter him afterwards. He kicked out of the pile driver through the table off the apron.
I was just thinking, as we go through these, Si, shall we just give our brief thoughts on them as we remember
let's do it.
Go through? I think just so anyone who wants to revisit one of the episodes knows that or roughly what they're in store for.
As you said,
TLC 1, Dudleys, Edge Christian.
The Dudleys? Are they similar to the Dursleys?
The Dudleys, they were TNAs.
Oh, I see.
They were after Dudleys left. They put them in masks and they were calling them the Dudleys. So, yeah, the Dudleys. They put my teeth in. And the other two. He's just going to mock me. It's fine.
It's going to be a long episode if this is the time you're taking.
Yeah, the first TLC match, absolute Stone Cold classic. We ended our TLC coverage with the two best ones of all time, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
Not even meaning to.
Well, I think it was quite deliberate, but anyway. So the first one was very creative. Obviously, the crowd had seen tables and ladders matches between the two, but it was the first tables, ladders and chairs match. It was very creative, great spots throughout. Then we moved on to ECW. Less good, less slick, I guess, is the best way of describing it.
Yeah, it was an odd one for me, because as you'd watched ECW in the past, you were quite a fan of it, whereas I was more of a WWE fanboy and never really got into ECW at the time. So I was looking forward to going back to this hardcore, ridiculously violent, insane style, only to find that it wasn't that good. It wasn't that great.
No, we picked a bad one there, I think. You still haven't done your homework of watching Tanaka versus Mike Awesome, but...
No, before the next season, I'll get it watched. Yeah, we'll do on the intro for the next series.
Yeah, we then went to TLC, the branded pay-per-view, but we did cover a TLC match from there. TLC 2012, we had The Shield making their in-ring debut against Team Hell No and Ryback. I quite enjoyed it. I was expecting more because of the sort of reputation The Shield had further down the line for absolutely chaotic brawls. Just what stood out there was how well The Shield sort of made ganging up, even in a non-handicap match, look.
Yeah, it's been... you don't really see that with the fact that WWE bury tag team wrestling nowadays. It was all the rage back in the back in the 90s when you're watching teams who are really slickly organized to take another tag team apart by those quick tags and two-on-ones and bits and pieces. So it's nice to hark back to those days with the Shield, and they made them look really strong as a unit.
Yeah, absolutely. It really did. Then we went slightly less serious, I guess, for the WLC. Certainly the commentary team on the night would make you think so anyway.
Yeah, and I'm still angry. Still fuming.
Of course.
A really enjoyable match, absolutely ruined by Cole, Lawler, and JBL.
JBL, yeah.
Completely forgot who the last twat were, but no, JBL.
The last twat was. That's a great way of putting it. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that one. You don't go into it expecting much, particularly when the commentary team say things like, we're somehow trending on Twitter. But yeah, it was great. El Torito stood out really well through that match. We then went to Unforgiven 2006, Edge versus Cena for the WWE Championship. It was in Toronto, so Edge was definitely the fan favorite for the night. I think this is probably both of their best ever feuds, as I mentioned in the episode, and I think this is a really good, strong match.
Yeah, really, as you say, Edge very much the hometown boy and fan favourite, so it was really nice to see a more aggressive, nastier Cena in it.
Yeah, he certainly plays up to heel characteristics more than he probably had at all up to this point. We then went slightly to somewhere we've never been before. So we went to AAA, Triple Mania 2019 for the 7-way women's title match, where 10 minutes of action went on. There was a 25 minutes of entrances. Then there was 10 minutes of action. I say action, very little happened.
Yeah, we had several botches.
Yeah, we did have a few botches.
Don't do them down that much.
No, there was three attempted spots, all of them botches. So yeah, there was that.
It should have been, as I say, it wasn't like they were unknown. They were talented, experienced wrestlers. Yeah. It should have been far better, far more frenetic and just action-packed than the hodgepodge mess it ended up being.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because they brought Tessa Blanchard had come across from Impact specifically for the event. I know we talked about the fact that AAA or Lucha Libre have an agreement in place with AEW so that wrestlers can wrestle on both cards. So you had like Kenny Omega on the card. So they were, it's not that they were short of star power. For some reason, the match just didn't really get going, I don't think. But we saved the best till last. WrestleMania 17, My Way or the Highway, as you rightly pointed out before the episode. TLC 2, once again, the Dursleys taking on the Harveys, taking on Edge and Christian. but this time with the added Spike, Lita and Rhino, who it sounds a lot, as we discussed in the episode, it sounds a lot on paper, but everyone played their role really well, I think.
Yeah, it's the best. Without fanboying over again, I tried very hard last episode and not just fanboy all over it. Yeah, it is the best TLC match, as you say. It's got the best spots. And even the limited time Lita, Rhino and Spike are in there. They do their part absolutely brilliantly well. And as I say, it's got one of my favourite things to see with when they botch the Jeff Hardy Edge spot. And you see a group of intelligent, talented wrestlers rework it without needing to go and just do the whole setup again and just make it work. And yeah, that just shows you how completely at their peak they were.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. And recent news. So in AEW at the moment, Christian Cage and Matt Hardy are starting to feud again. So it wasn't quite the big settling match that they promised before, since it's 20 years later and they're still going back to the well.
Come on, their contracts can't be worth that much to get Edge and Jeff. surely we can get this out there.
We're going to get everyone back in again one more time. Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh my God, can you imagine? Well, I know there's a danger, it could be awful, but oh my god, that'd be amazing.
Well,
if AEW got the Dudleys into TLC 3.
Well, it's not quite TLC 3 because there have been like 20 other matches now.
Yeah, but, true. Yeah.
The real TLC
3. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Is there any point asking which one your favourite was? I know you talked about that we bookended it with the two best ones, but we did slightly spoil it in our previous episode by you talking at length about why WrestleMania 17 was the best DLC match.
Yeah, it's the one that we missed off our list. It was the Abyss Jeff Hardy.
It was, yeah. We completely missed that one.
Yeah, against all odds. Against all odds, me ever watching that match again. It's probably the best way to put that. Yeah, as I say, I did spoil it slightly last week, although anyone who heard me speaking about the match could probably guess what my favourite TLC match was going to be. It has to be TLC 2. It just doesn't stop. It's just from the second it starts to the end, there is nothing that, or barely anything to fault with that match.
No,
apart from the ending, as you say, which I know you had a little bit of an issue with.
Yeah, it just felt a little bit out of nowhere, and D-Von was just being held, and then Rhino obviously gives the assist. The ending for the first one I preferred, the table set up across the two ladders with D-Von being thrown off it, with like the platform. I thought that was better, but the first and second TLC matches are both, for me, 5-star matches. TLC 2 slightly edges it. I know that you tried to go all Dave Meltzer last week and give it a 6-star rating, but I'm sticking to 5 stars.
Okay, that's fair enough. Yeah. No, you never go full Dave Meltzer.
You never go full Meltzer. Okay, other end of the scale then. So what was your least favourite? I know we completely forgot to mention the first episode of the series, the TNA Against All Odds Abyss, Jeff Hardy, which might be a sign of what's to come. But what are you putting as your worst match that we can?
No, it's actually not that one. It's the women's ladder match at AAA.
Yeah.
Just because... Not because it's women wrestling, because you know what, we've covered some brilliant women's matches in the past, but just for what we should have had and what they delivered was so completely opposite ends of the scale. At least with Jeff Hardy and Abyss, you know, you're gonna have a slightly fucked up Jeff Hardy trying doing bits and pieces, and it was dull, but we didn't expect much from it. I expected far more from the AAA one.
Yeah, absolutely. I know. So even in the TNA match, there was still the spot with Jeff jumping off the Titantron. Well, sort of doing a forward roll off the Titantron, I suppose. But it still counts. Still counts.
Yeah, still counts. Still went for a table. It's fine.
Yeah. So there was a couple of bad matches. So the Against All Odds 2005, the ECW one was really clunky, but they were still trying things in that one, and it was a bit overbooked, but it wasn't boring. I guess
the ending's still going on in it.
Yeah, I guess they're on the 9th champion of the night. But yeah, I completely agree. The AAA one for me was the worst of the set that we covered. Favorite spot of the series then?
Oh my god, there's so many.
There's a hell of a lot. This was always going to be a toughie.
Yeah, I'm about to say anything with Jeff Hardy coming off the ladder in the TLC matches.
Yeah.
I'm just going to pick a few because it's hard to pick an absolute nail down one. Then Seth going through the table with the shield because he catches it on the edge. He comes down from a height and it looks painful as anything. So I think that looks spectacular. And also as a dark horse, Spike Dudley's DDT on the outside when he puts Christian through the table outside during TLC 2, I think is underrated as spot as you'll find. I love that. I think it's great.
Yeah, I'll pick a few others. I did have those on my list. But so TLC 1, the spot that doesn't really get much attention where Jeff Hardy gets Matt Hardy's on the ladder. It gets lifted up, so he falls backwards from the top of the ladder to the table on the outside. I thought that was a brutal spot.
As you say, when you can't see where you're going, it's it's dangerous, isn't it? Yeah,
really scary. The Cena Edge ones, the FU off the top of the ladder through two tables was a very good looking spot, despite the fact there was two refs in the ring holding the ladder, so it didn't just topple over. and then a couple from TLC 2 from WrestleMania 17. So there was Matt and Bubba Ray being pushed off the ladder to the outside, going through the stack of tables. Much better than the version where Jeff does the same thing, but then is just angry about it and starts breaking the table that he doesn't manage to break. And then I think the best spot, the spear off the ladder where Jeff's dangling above the ring.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's the one that is used iconic on the ring now, then, now, forever, and so on. But yeah, that is my favourite of the lot.
I think that is a good set of picks.
Yeah, I think we've done a decent job there. Okay, just before we move on to some of the matches we should have covered then, we always give a sort of MVP for the series. Who are you giving? I imagine it's going to be one of the three teams, since it's the three that we've covered the most.
No matter how fucked up he may be, no matter what problems he has, the sheer balls, moxie, and just willingness to risk everything to get his spots in, Jeff Hardy's my MVP.
Fair enough. I'm going to go slightly different. The fact that his team won the first two and he's been in more TLC matches than anyone else. I know we've not necessarily covered them all, but I think Edge is the MVP of TLC. That is way too many letters in that sentence. But yeah, I'm giving it to Edge.
You're lucky. What do you call it? E3.
E3 MVP of TLC. Yeah, exactly. So some of the matches we should have covered or could have covered, definitely instead of the rubbish ones that we mentioned. So within a couple of months of TLC 2, there was TLC 3, which happened on SmackDown May 24th, 2001. It had the original three teams, but also the team of Jericho and Benoit, who had recently won the titles off the two-man power trip. Just giving that away on an episode of SmackDown is crazy.
No recollection of that a couple of months later at all, weirdly enough.
Yeah,
saying that, this is the bit where you'll reel off matches. I have absolutely no recollection of that.
I'm sure. I'm not just going to read them in order, but TLC 4 was once again, so Christian, Jeff Hardy and Bubba Ray were involved. They were aligned with slightly different teams though. So it's still the Dudley Boys. It was Bubba and Spike versus Christian and Chris Jericho versus Jeff Hardy and Rob Van Dam. That's a high flying team. And the defending champions that night were Kane and the Hurricane, but the Hurricane was injured. That was on an episode of Raw in October 2002. And basically, because it was Vegas, it was one of the episodes where they have the roulette wheel, Raw Roulette, and it fell on a TLC match.
I know we say they could do with bringing these things back, like they're completely random and they've not worked on what's actually going to be the choices here. But God, I love those theme pay-per-views. I used to love the WCW Halloween Havoc ones, the pick your poison ones,
Or
the battle bowl one where they used to have the tag team matches and then a battle royal at the end. Also used to be great. Random tag teams.
Yeah, just things to mix up wrestling where things feel different. I know I mentioned a couple of episodes ago about Taboo Tuesday, but just something to freshen things up, because anyone that watches Raw at the moment, it's the same 9 or 10 matches on at least a bi-weekly repeat. Everything's just rematches at the moment. Although not for long, because half the roster's been released, but that's a different story.
Yeah, well, you can look forward to watching Reigns versus whoever for 45 minutes at this point.
Yeah.
They'll just stretch out matches. They won't bring anyone else in. That'll be it. Go, Reigns, you're doing double duty tonight. Hour and a half wrestling.
Well, So the last week's SmackDown, again, to bring this to the modern day, but it started off with the Mysterios versus the Usos. And then the last segment was the same thing, but with Reigns involved as well. If you'd fallen asleep at like midnight as it started and woken up at the end of the show, you'd think it was a long match.
You'd have had no idea anything was any different.
No.
God, yeah, just, you know what? With restrictions and stuff easing and hopefully fans being back in the stadium soon, it might be they're keeping their powder dry and actually maybe just keeping this running just to tread water until they can have everyone back and push on.
Yeah, maybe. There is talk as well of after SummerSlam there being a draft to mix things up. I imagine there'll be a lot of NXT call-ups or from NXT... from NXT UK to NXT and then from NXT across the two brands. But if I was an NXT guy at the moment, I think I'd be staying where I was if I had any creative say. But that's a different podcast, I suppose. So some of the other matches we could have talked about. So we mentioned this in our build for Edge versus The Undertaker at Hell in a Cell. But there was the TLC match, which by all accounts is probably the best singles match singles TLC match ever. That was for the vacant World Heavyweight title at One Night Stand 2008. There's some ones that sound like absolute stinkers. And they mainly come when TLC became its own pay-per-view from December 2009. So you've got Braun Strowman versus Baron Corbin. And what was on the line there was Corbin's authoritative power. So Corbin would have become the permanent GM of Raw. I have absolutely no interest of ever going back and watching that.
No, I was just going to, as you said it there, I was just like, oh my God, just sounds like there's nothing wrong with either of the wrestlers. They're both talented guys, but I've got no interest in watching a TLC match.
No. CM Punk is in quite a lot of matches against guys that you would not necessarily want to see.
Not in a bad word said against CM Punk. Every match was a classic, I imagine.
So CM Punk versus Ryback from 2013. CM Punk versus The Miz and Del Rio from 2011. Staying on The Miz. So The Miz, when he was champion back in 2010, defeated The King on Raw in a TLC match. I think I'm right in saying that was the only WWE title match that The King ever had, but don't quote me on that. It's just something that jumps out to me as being correct. A couple of better ones in recent years then. So on NXT, there was the Tables, Ladders and Scares match from Halloween Havoc when they brought that back between Lo Sheree and Candice LeRae. That was a really good match. And there was also the December before that at the TLC pay-per-view, there was Asuka and Kairi Sane versus Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair for the women's tag titles. That was a really good match. Everything was slightly toned down after the first two, partly because it was like... matches just couldn't reach that height again. But yeah, there's some of the ones we could have done. And finally, a quick quiz for you. So the first ever TLC match that was a singles match, Edge defended his WWE title. Who do you think it was against, Chris?
Oh God, it'll be someone like... It's probably going to be someone ridiculous like Kane.
Do you want me to give you the year? Would that help?
Yeah,
slightly?
Give it a year. Try.
2006 on an episode of Raw.
Fuck was there, and then I have no idea. I can even hazard a guess. I can't even think what year it is now.
15 years ago, yeah.
No, I've got no idea.
If I give you the place where Raw was, that might give you a bit of a clue.
Okay, go on then.
North Carolina.
Oh, one of the Hardys, surely.
No,
Carolina. Ric Flair. Okay, you can understand why I went Carolina.
And of course, it wouldn't be a match type without there being a champion versus champion match between Randy Orton and Cena back in 2013. Episode 396 of their ongoing saga. Okay, yeah, there's some of the matches we could have covered. Any closing thoughts then on TLC before we wrap up the series, Chris?
I'll tell you what, for this one, normally we go through these matches, and no matter how good the action is, we normally completely bemoan there being no storyline in them.
Yeah.
This has been a series where we've actually been a nice change of pace, where because it's so spot heavy and for the most part they've been great and the action has been entertaining, it's not been as much of an issue when you haven't got a huge storyline running in. It would be nice, obviously, all the TLC with the Edge, Hardys, Dudley Boy stuff works brilliantly. But most of the time, you know what? Just want someone getting hit in the head with a chair really hard. That's enough to do it for you.
There's your bloodlust once again.
I know.
Yeah, I agree. I think for the first two, the story had been going on for 2 years. It doesn't need much of a separate build for the Hardys, Dudleys and Edge and Christian. Some of the other ones, some of the stories for some of the matches we covered. So the Cena Edge one, for example, that was an ongoing feud. The Shield having their debut as a TLC match and it being chaos was a nice story, even though it wasn't. I know they had been a sort of attacking Team Hell No and Ryback, but it hadn't been built towards in a series of matches or whatever. But yeah, I agree. I think this one more than the ladder matches as well, we haven't seen as much of ladder or TLC bingo here, I don't think.
No, I think we've had bits and pieces, but I think because you've got the whole tables, ladders, chairs, they said ladles, ladders and chairs, and we've any completely different match types.
You're working on like a Pro Evo brand of wrestling games coming out soon.
Exactly. Oh, go. Right, Sedge. Sedge. Yeah. Sedge versus Candy Borton.
Yeah.
There was a
wrestling manager game I played once where Brock Lesnar's name was Bork Laser on there.
Bork Laser. Sorry, my son is also called Bork.
Yeah. Emergency, yes. We're out of Bork license plates. Sorry,
you're talking to me? Right. Look at me, Simpsons reference.
Obviously.
Right. I completely forgot what I was saying. Yeah, so because you got tables, ladders and chairs, you got more scope to do a lot of different spots with it. So you haven't got just that ladder to work with. So it's easier not to just not hit the general bingo tropes as we have in the past. So although you get some of the spots like going off the ladder onto the top rope, again, as you would in ladder matches, you get in TLC as well, and you get the two people falling to the outside. As I say, because you got more scope for what you can use, your teams or individuals tend to try to make their own unique moments rather than just fall into that pattern.
Yeah. And so generally I think one thing that works better with TLC matches is they tend to be more multi-man matches rather than just one-on-one, which means that you can be more creative and there's not really any lull in the action, because as soon as, or unless you're watching Lucha Libre, then when someone's out of the ring, the next thing is already happening and it should string together. So yeah, I agree. Okay, all that's left then, so that's our TLC coverage wrapped up. Nice little package to throw another one in there. All that's left is for us to talk about what we're going to be covering next time. So we put it to our followers on Twitter and Instagram at Select Match Pod, if you're not already subscribed to us there. And the selection was pretty overwhelming, to be honest. So the next match type that we will be selecting is Elimination Chamber matches. What's your reaction to the news, Chris?
There are some absolutely great Elimination Chamber matches. I'm really looking forward to this. We've got, without spoiling it, saying what we make of her, we have one where part of the storyline leads to one of my favourite matches again of all time.
Yeah.
And secondly, I know you'll get the reference when I say this, there's one where I had to get my wife, the non-wrestling fan, to watch a spot in the Elimination Chamber just to go, oh my God, did you see that?
I am very much looking forward to this. Again, we've not really touched on it this episode, but copy and paste from our Hell in a Cell coverage about the TLC, TLC being a yearly pay-per-view. It is slightly annoying now that the Elimination Chamber is its own pay-per-view, but I do feel like this one fits better because it's sort of replaced No Way Out. So what generally happens at Elimination Chambers now is it's to set up the main event at WrestleMania. So it does feel like it sort of fits with the story. But I can't wait for this. We get to see Shawn Michaels try out brown trousers for the first time for some reason. We get Goldberg at his absolute peak in WWE, which still means he can't beat Triple H, but I'm sure we'll come to it. And some of the high-flying stuff with people dangling off off pods and off the roof of the chamber. There's some great action that we're gonna cover. Obviously, in kayfabe, we'll come to this in our preview episode, I'm sure. In kayfabe, Eric Bischoff takes full credit for the creation of the Elimination Chamber to drive ratings. It'll be interesting to see whether we firmly give him the praise or other creative elements, I guess.
Yeah, we shall. It's hard. It's hard in wrestling because obviously anything that's a success, you got 50 people trying to take credit for it.
Yeah, of course you have. And anything that goes wrong, you've got no one wanting to take the blame. Like a lot like many other aspects of life, I suppose. Okay, so that's our next series. There's a bit of other news as well. So because Hell in a Cell has been moved this year, we are having another crossover episode with the WNR podcast. Obviously, we covered Hell in a Cell last year with those guys, and it'll be great to have another episode where we cover this year's Hell in a Cell. It does mean, Chris, though, that we have to watch some modern day stuff, unfortunately. I'm really sorry.
Oh, God. Oh, we'll cope, I'm sure.
I'm sure you'll manage.
The guys on that pod are absolutely brilliant. We had a lot of fun doing stuff with them last year. And obviously, we did the Halloween special with them as well. So, yeah, looking forward to this.
Yeah. Can't wait. So that's what we've got coming up in the near future. Until next time, thank you very much for listening. Thanks as always, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
And speak to you next time.